Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
I want to say to those of you that might be joining us for the first time, welcome to Crossroads. Welcome home. Today is Baptism Sunday. We celebrate Baptism Sunday. We can see that the weather has put a damper on some people showing up this morning, but not us. We're here. We had 13 people signed up, and I'm not sure all of those are here this morning. So let me just say it's also an open baptism. So if you feel like you'd like to be baptized and you don't mind walking out in wet clothes and froze, we'll baptize you. I know it's probably the wrong day to do open baptism. But again, that's your option. My name is Joseph. I serve as the lead pastor. If I haven't met you, please stick around a few moments after service so that I can introduce myself and my lovely wife, Tammy. We're going to have cake and punch in the gym today to celebrate our baptisms. Everyone is welcome to join us. We're in the second week of the sermon series, Meant to Be. Everyone say, Meant to Be. This series is about getting you to where you're meant to be, step by step, day by day. And that might mean you have to take a step of faith or a step of obedience to get there. Last week we were in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Today we're going to be in the belly of the well with Jonah. How many prefer the Garden of Eden over the belly of the well? But the belly of the well was a result of Jonah's disobedience. See, through obedience, Jonah could have avoided the well's belly. And through obedience, you and I can avoid some of the valleys of life. And notice I said some, because there are some valleys that you can't avoid. There are some valleys that you have to walk through. But there's always, always, always a lesson in the valley. There was a lesson for Jonah in the well's belly. And the lesson was, no matter how deep you are in well scum, God is just a prayer away. See, there's a lesson in our valleys, church. And the lesson is, no matter how deep you are in scum, sin or disobedience or whatever it is you're in this morning, God is just a prayer away. There's a lesson in the valley. The Bible says that in the well's belly that Jonah prayed. He prayed. See, your valley isn't the time or the place to give up on God or to give up on prayer. No, this is where you need to pray all the more. We don't want to stay here, so we need to pray here, because prayer will greatly reduce the length of your stay. And prayer can turn your valley upside down. Is there anyone here today that needs a valley turned upside down besides me? See, prayer will turn your valley into a hill. Let me explain. Prayer can turn your valley of cancer into a hill of remission. I've seen it. 2 weeks ago, my mom was able to ring the cancer bell to say she's cancer-free. Or how about this, your valley of debt into a hill of blessings. And I know there's some of you in the crowd that need that today. Is there a valley that you need turned upside down this morning? I want to go to Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, and I want to read Jonah's prayer today. And then I want to go back to Jonah chapter 1 and read the beginning of Jonah's story. So let's go to chapter 2 first. The Bible says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. It's like the song, I called, he answered, and he came to my rescue. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. Some of you are in this very spot this moment. Verse 4, I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again. The title of today's sermon is, I will look again. Everyone say, I will look again. See, I will look again is a declarative statement. It's a proclamation, I will look again. So no matter what's standing in front of me, I will look again. And I'll look again, and I'll look again, and I'll look again if I have to. Some of you need to declare that this morning, I will look again. Now let's go back to Jonah 1. Starting in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I pray that right now that you would open up this word. God, that you would anoint this sermon. You would anoint the words of this sermon, every scripture, every word, every point. God, that you would speak to every heart in this place. That we would not leave this place without hearing from you today, God. God, I pray that you would anoint every mom, every dad, every teenager, every grandparent that's in this place. Speak, God. Right now, our hearts are ready to receive. Our ears are open. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jonah is known as the reluctant prophet. How many knew that? I would hate to be known as a reluctant Christian. I mean, think about it. How many of you would like to be known as a reluctant Christian? Let me see your hands. Or how about a reluctant church member? Anytime you're asked to serve, you run from it. Oh, wait. There are some of you in here. Ouch. The word reluctant means unwilling, afraid, hesitant, slow, squeamish, or uncertain. But the opposite of that is bold, confident, certain, ready, and willing. Does the word reluctant describe anyone in here today? I don't want to be known as a reluctant Christian. I want to be known as a bold, confident, certain Christian. In Jonah 1:1, the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord is going to come to you today. I don't know what your quiet time looks like if you have one. I don't know what your prayer life looks like if you have one. So I don't know how often the word of the Lord comes to you, but I can promise you that the word of the Lord will come to you today. And I can promise you, go ahead if you're going to clap, that the word of the Lord will come to you every single week if you'll come to church every single week. I should have made that point number one. Come to church and the word will come to you. Just like if you open up God's word, it automatically comes to you. If you spend time in God's word, the word will come to you. My hope is that the word of God comes to you throughout the week in your quiet time, through your prayer life. And my prayer is that the word of God that comes to you on Sunday mornings is a word of confirmation that God has already spoke to your hearts throughout the week, in your quiet time, through your prayer life. And it might be a word of confirmation that comes to you today, or it might be a word of conviction. It might be a word of direction or it might be a word of encouragement, but I promise you the word of the Lord will come to you today. And you'll have a choice to obey or disobey. In verse 2, God said, go to the great city of Nineveh, Jonah. But Jonah ran from God. He fled. He took off. He disobeyed God. He was a man on the run. Is there anyone on the run here today? What are you running from? Are you running from God? Are you running from your past? Are you running from a mistake? Are you running from a marriage, from commitment, a relationship? Are you running from a doctor's report? What are you running from this morning? The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. That we've all ran away. We've all turned to our own way. So what are you running from? In the NLT, it says that Jonah went the opposite direction of where God told him to go. I wonder if there's anyone here today that's going in the opposite direction of where God has called you. Are you going in the opposite direction of where you're meant to be? God said, go north, Jonah, and Jonah went south. He went down because sin will always take you down. See, Nineveh was about 500 miles away, and for us, that would be about an 8-hour car trip, unless you have four kids like me. 8 hours turns into 8 days. With all the bathroom stops and the munchie breaks. But for Jonah, it would have taken him about 8 weeks to get to Nineveh. That's a long trip. But the place that Jonah chose to run to was not 500 miles away. It was 2,500 miles away. Isn't that like life? When we're on the run, when we're running from God, it takes us so far away from where we're meant to be. It would have took Jonah about a year to get there on a ship. Come on, isn't that like life? Running from God. We end up somewhere we're not meant to be, way over here. God has called us to be here, serving here, being faithful here, but we're over here doing our own thing, way off of God's plans for our lives. No wonder we can't hear God because we're way away from where we're meant to be. So we've got to take some steps of faith. We've got to take some steps of obedience so that we can hear God. So that we can be where we're meant to be. There's some of you here this morning that can relate to Jonah because you've been running from God. Maybe months, maybe years. And it's taken you about 2,500 miles away from where you're meant to be. But here's the word of the Lord for you today. Quit running. Go where He tells you to go. Do what He tells you to do. You make it sound so easy, Pastor. See, obedience sounds like a simple step when it's someone else's step to take. Right? You can run for a while, but you can't run forever. Let's go to verse 4. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Who sent the storm? God sent the storm. The devil isn't the only one sending storms your way. You give him too much credit. God sent this storm. And we can call this the perfect storm because God sent it. Although I've never really understood that term because I've never seen a perfect storm. They're all terrible to me. The perfect storm would be no storm. Just saying. But God wouldn't have had to send the storm if Jonah would have obeyed God's word. See, disobedience brought about this storm in Jonah's life. And sometimes our disobedience brings about the storm, while other times storms are just natural occurrences of life. And I don't know if the storm you're walking through today is because you're disobedient or not, but you should. God sent the storm to get Jonah's attention. He sent his word. Jonah disobeyed the word, so he sent the storm. Notice he sent the word first. It's like this. Tammy will tell the kids first, but if they don't listen, look out, because here comes Storm Tammy. Point number one, avoid the storm by obeying the word. I said avoid the storm by simply obeying the word. The storm would have never been sent if Jonah would have obeyed God's word. Looking back, I can recognize multiple storms in my life that were a result of my own disobedience. That one was my fault. That storm, I caused myself. That was through my disobedience. That big storm over there, that one was, nope, that was Tammy's fault. Not mine. There are storms that can be simply avoided by obeying God's word. And let me also point out that Jonah's disobedience put everyone on the ship at risk. Come on, let that sink in. No pun intended. Your disobedience puts everyone on the ship. Everyone in your home. Everyone on your team. Everyone in your church. Everyone in your class. Everyone on the job at risk. Your disobedience puts your marriage at risk. Your disobedience puts your ministry at risk. Something to think about. In verse 12, Jonah said, "It's my fault. This storm is my fault, guys." How hard is it to admit that it's your fault? I mean, think about it. He's on a ship with guys in the middle of the sea, and he says, "It's my fault, guys. Let's go ahead and throw me overboard." Come on. Is there anyone here today that would say that the storm is possibly 99.9% my fault? Let me see your hands. And I know you probably won't ever admit that to your spouse, Tammy. But can you work up the integrity and the humility to say, "God, it's my fault. This storm is my fault. This is my fault, God, because of my disobedience. This valley is my fault." That's humility, church. That's repentance. And if you can remember from last week, repentance leads the way. It leads the way to righteousness. It leads the way to obedience. And it leads the way to where we're meant to be by simply obeying and repenting. But for Jonah, it led him into the heart of the sea. That's what he got for his repentance. Thank you, Jesus. The sailors threw him overboard. They threw him into a shark tank or a whale's tank. That's what we're going to be doing today for those of you being baptized. We got a little surprise for you. But here again, this could have been avoided through simply obeying. Can I get Jonah to come help me out? Little JoJo. I'm going to read verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the well 3 days and 3 nights." Let's go to verse 1. "And from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me from the deep. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry.'" Jonah was thrown overboard. I just want you to get a good picture of this. He's thrown overboard. And then the Bible says that God provided a fish. There are times in my life where I want God to provide a fish, but now is not the time, God. When I have a rod in my hand, that's when I want God to provide the fish. When I'm at Sam's buying salmon, that's when I want God to provide the fish, because the salmon is so expensive. but not when I'm swimming with them. But then the fish swallowed Jonah. And then somehow, in the belly of the well, Jonah was able to get down on his knees and pray to God. Just so you can see. He's praying. But think about it. God sent his word. He sent a storm, and then he sent a great big fish. Can anyone relate? God sent his word. You disobeyed his word, and that led you into the storm. And then, boom, out of nowhere, you get swallowed up by a great big fish of sin, of disobedience unto God. This would have seemed like the perfect place to give up, to throw in the towel. But what does Jonah do? The Bible says Jonah prayed. Where he could have given up, he chose to look up. And he chose to lift it up to God in prayer. And the Bible says in his distress, he prayed. God finally got his attention. Is God trying to get your attention? It took a great big fish to get Jonah's. What will it take to get yours? He said, in my distress, I prayed. He finally concluded that he needed to pray. It's like prayer was his last resort. As your pastor, I want to teach you to pray first. Prayer shouldn't be our last resort. It should be our first response. Don't wait until stress or distress comes before you pray. No, pray first. If Jonah would have prayed back in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, he could have avoided the storm and the fish. He would have never had to have been there. Thank you, Jonah. Jojo. And personally, I prefer to avoid as many storms and big fish swallowing me as possible. But put yourself in Jonah's predicament for a moment. He's probably thinking, this is it. It's over. I'm finished. I'm never coming out of this. This was a hopeless place for Jonah. I mean, think about it. He's in the belly of a well, for goodness sakes. There are some of you here today that are in a hopeless place, and you're probably thinking, I'm never coming out of this. It's over. I'm finished. I can't tell you how long the storm will last. I can't tell you how long you'll be in the valley. It might be a month. It might be a year. It might be 10 years. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Point number two. Hope is the key to last, no matter how long it lasts. It being the storm, the valley, the difficulty, whatever you're going through, hope is the key to last, no matter how long it lasts. Jonah chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, from the depths of the grave, I called for help. The King James Version says, out of the belly of hell. I don't know if Jonah was saying this well was from hell or what, but I'm sure it felt like it. He was in a deep, dark place. Jonah said, I was furthest away from God than I could possibly be. In the grave, in the belly of hell, I called for help. See, no matter where you are, you can call for help. If you're far from God, if you're in the belly of hell, if you're in the belly of a well, if you're in disobedience, if you're in rebellion, if you're walking through a valley today, he's just a call away. You can call and he will answer. It's just like the song, I called, he answered, and he came to my rescue. There's some of you sitting here today that need him to come to your rescue right now in this moment. All you got to do is call, because he'll answer and come to your rescue. He is a faithful God. Always, always. So no matter where you are, call on him. He'll hear you. The Bible says that he heard Jonah's cry. And if God heard Jonah's cry in the belly of hell, he can hear your cry wherever you are today. God answered. If anybody needed to be rescued, it was Jonah. He was in the belly of hell. I wonder, is there anyone here today that needs to be rescued? See, our city needs to be rescued. There are people outside these walls today that need to be rescued. But what about in this place today? Is there anyone here that needs to be rescued today? Are you in a deep, dark valley? Are you far from God? Are you walking through a valley? Are you walking in disobedience or rebellion? Are you in a deep, dark place? See, some of you are good at hiding it. Outwardly, you look fine, but inwardly, you're not. You're depressed. You're hurting. You're full of anxiety. You're broken. You need hope. Is there anyone that needs hope today? Where do we get hope, church? Do we just pull it out of the sky? No, we get hope from vision. We get hope from God's word. We get hope from this sermon today. Jonah said in chapter 2, verse 4, that I've been banished from God's sight. Have you ever felt like you've been banished from God's sight, like he no longer sees you? Like he no longer hears you? Like he's no longer with you? That was Jonah's perspective in this moment. He was in a deep, dark place with no hope because he lost his vision. When you lose your vision, you lose your hope. Remember, Jonah was a prophet, but he lost his vision. As believers, we can lose our vision. Point number three, lost vision equals lost hope. I said lost vision equals lost hope. I believe it was George Washington Carver who said, where there's no vision, there's no hope. Without vision, we have a limited perspective. You have a limited perspective this morning. Have you lost your vision? We're concerned with the momentary when God is always concerned with eternity. Our concern is comfort, but God's concern is character. We want happiness, but he wants holiness. We look for success, but he looks for surrender. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, I prayed that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Last time I checked, my eyes were in my head, not my heart. But he's talking about spiritual eyes. We have to see our lives, we have to see our valleys, and we have to see our difficulties through spiritual eyes. Spiritual eyes allows us to see things through God's viewpoint. I've gotten many messages from church members throughout the years that basically said, I just don't see. I just don't see how I'm ever going to get through this, Pastor. I just don't see how this will ever work. I just don't see how I'll ever overcome this sin, this addiction. I just don't see how my marriage will ever work. I just don't see any hope in my future. I just don't see, Pastor. And when people say they just don't see, they're lacking hope, vision. They're lacking vision. Are you lacking vision this morning? Because without vision, we lose our hope. And there's no worse place to be in a place of hopelessness. And the Bible says that without a vision, the people perish. My job as your pastor is to help you find your vision. This sermon is to renew your vision. See, you can have sight without vision. Sight is seeing things as they are right before you, but vision allows you to see things as they could be, as they should be, or let me say it this way, how they will be. And I love what happened next. Jonah said, yet I will look again. So no matter what's standing before me, no matter I'm in the bellies of the well, I will look again. He said, yet I will look again. There was a shift. There was a shift from sight to vision. And he said, I'll look again. Well, everyone say, I will look again. There's a shift taking place right now. See, sometimes we just need to simply look again, but not with our physical eyes, with our spiritual eyes. I guarantee you nothing, absolutely nothing changed in the physical. He was still in the belly of the whale. He was still covered in stomach bile. He was still staring at the inner liner of a whale's belly. But something changed in the spiritual, church. Hope began to rise in this place. The eyes of his heart was opened up and he gained his vision. He lost sight of where he was by gaining vision of where he would be. He said, I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue. Even though he was still sitting in the belly of the well, he saw himself coming out of it. There's some of you this morning that are sitting in the belly of hell and you need to see yourself coming out, but you've lost your vision. You need to gain vision this morning. Come on, stand to your feet. It might seem like all hope is gone, but look again. You might feel like you have nothing left, but look again. You might feel like you're done this morning, but look again. Will somebody whisper, look again? Turn to your neighbor and say, I will look again. Come on, say it like you mean it. I will look again. Now shout with all you got. I will look again. Come on, I called. He answered and he came to my rescue. These altars are open. If you need to call, come on now. Right now, I spoke to three of you before service and said, I need God to move this mountain. I need to come out of this valley. I need God to make a way where there seems to be no way.